Though darkness fills the night, it cannot hide their light. Whom shall I fear? You crush the enemy underneath my feet. You are my sword and shield. Though troubles linger still, whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of ancient longings is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of ancient longings is always by my side. My strength is in your name, for you alone can save. You will deliver me, yours is the victory. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear?
The last Sunday of 2019. You guys believe it? All right, so, well, God doesn't care about time, does he? It's the same today, tomorrow, forevermore. Let's stand on up and sing to the morning. You're going to need a lot of participation today on this song.
You are holy. of praise.
Worthy of praise.
I will follow.
I will follow.
I will listen.
I will listen.
I will love you.
I will love you.
All of my days.
Turning back, no turning. turning back.
He took my sin and my sorrows, he made them his very own, and he bore the burden to Calvary and suffered.
Anybody this past year had any hardship?
Yes.
Anything to deal with? I think for so many people, it seems like I was just thinking about some of our prayer requests over the years and just some of the struggles that people within our own congregation have dealt with over the last years. And some have pulled through that, whether it's whether it be health or whether it be jobs or finances or whatever. And others have just had, just some great loss and just some great tragedy. And so, as we look into this new year, and there's something about this new year.
Speaking of hardship.
And something about the new year. And also this year, I think we tend to forget it's a new decade, right? And there's something about that starting over again that kind of gives us something. But we know that, guess what? This next year is going to have some hardship, right? We have hopes. And we also know that we don't know what 2020 is going to bring. We've been joking. I've seen a lot of churches doing a cliche 2020 vision kind of thing. I'm not doing that. But it is about, just keeping our eyes on Jesus and recognizing no matter what comes our way, he's the only thing that remains consistent. He's the only thing that's going to get us through this year or through it all, right? So through it all, we got to keep our eyes on him. And that's the main resolution we need to have. So let's just sing this song as well.
Grander earth has quaked before, moved by the sound of his voice. Seas that are shaken and stirred can be calmed and broken from my regard. And through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you. And it is well. Far be it from me to not believe, even when my eyes can't see, and this mountain that's in front of me will be thrown into the midst of the sea. And through it all, my eyes are on you. It is well. It is well. So let go, my soul, and trust in Him. The waves and wind still know His name. So let go, my soul, and trust in Him. The waves and wind still know.
Amen. Lord God, we just thank you for bringing us through another year and decade. And now as we look forward to this year, we don't know what it's going to have for us. But God, we know that through it all, our eyes are on you. And it's going to be well regardless because we trust in a risen Savior who holds, we don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. And so God, just be with us during this hour, this time together as we wrap up this year. May you speak to us newness of life and newness of things in your, in our, into our spirits. And for this, we give you praise in Christ's mighty name. Amen. I'm going to ask that you all just take a seat as we're going to end this year with communion. Last year to this year, because we recognize that one of the things that Jesus said was he took something that was old. He took a Seder meal that had been done for hundreds of years, thousands of years, and he did something new with it. He took a covenant that was old, basically the covenant of the law, and he made it new. He said, I have not come to abolish or do away with the law, but to fulfill it. And Jesus loves to take old things and make new. So if you see the person next to you, You can kind of whisper to him, hey, be excited. Jesus takes old things and makes new. All right? But that's what he loves to do. He loves to take that which is intended. He sees the positive. He sees what we can be in each of us. And so on that night so long ago, in which there that Seder meal of long ago, he took the bread and he gave thanks to God and he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples and said, take and eat from this. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. You see, they expected him to do something that had been done before. They expected him to do something like the way they've always done it. If you've been around churches long enough, you know people, churches are great or bad, whichever one you want to look at it for saying, well, we've never done it that way. And so I can imagine the disciples, when Jesus broke the bread and said, this is my body, imagine them saying, well, we never done it that way. And he said, that's all right, I'm doing a new thing. And he gave it to his disciples and said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Take and eat this in remembrance of me. He also, after the supper was over, he took the cup. He once again asked for the blessing of God and said, Lord, bless this gift. And he began to pass it around to his disciples and said, take and drink from this, all of you. This is my blood shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. And so as we remember what Jesus did in taking that which was old and making new, as we go to this next decade, this next year, may we hope that some of the things, that the struggles that we dealt with, that we may leave them in the past. And we're going to talk a little bit about this today. And that we may follow Christ in a new and exciting way. And so, Lord Jesus, pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and upon these gifts. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, set apart and redeemed by his precious blood. Make us one with each other, just as the grain that made this bread was pressed out and came together to make bread, just as the grapes were pressed out to make this grape juice. God, we pray that you will press us out and draw us together for the needs of many in our community and around the world. And so, Lord, we give you thanks for your presence meeting us here in this gift of communion. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, there's some rules to communion, but they're not like other churches may have. Some of the rules are simply this. Do you love Jesus? You got to deal with Jesus one way or the other. C.S. Lewis said he's either a liar, a lunatic, or savior. You got to deal with him. He doesn't allow for anything else. Jesus never allows for anything else. So you got to decide which one he is. And then do you have things this last year? How many of you made a New Year's resolution last year? Anybody? How many of you kept them all year? There you go, all right? So a lot of times we have these things, a lot of us have these resolutions with God. We say, hey, Lord, I'm going to live this way, I'm going to do this way. And then we kind of get off the mark. That's simply the word called sin, off the mark of what God intended. And so we all have that stuff in our lives that we don't like, but yet we live with and we do. And so do we want to repent of that? We're going to talk about repent today a little bit. We're going to talk about some of these terms, so don't get too caught up in it. But it just means to go the other way, a change of mind. And so we earnestly repent of our sin, want to repent of that stuff in our life. And then seek to live at peace with one another. Some of you may have had family over for Christmas, and you're glad it's going to be another Christmas before you see them again. You know, I think God wants to restore relationships. There may have been people that you were very close to at the beginning of 2019, and something happened. Something in family, something at the job, in our place of work, whatever. It may have just caused this conflict. And I'm going to tell you right now, God wants you to do everything you can to bring some sort of restoration. You may not be bosom buddies, but he says, hey, do everything that you can to live at peace with one another. And so that's scripture. That ain't me. Those are the things that we want to do. If you have people, you've tried all you can, say, God, I have tried with this person. You know how they are. And just say, I've tried. You got to make a way. And so maybe God will make a way. And so what we're going to do today is I'm going to ask the worship team to come up first, and along with the servers. And we're going to receive communion to end this year and to begin the next year. Just so you know, what we're going to do, and some of you have been part of this before, but in case you're visiting today, welcome. But this is open for anybody. You don't have to be a member of our church. It's not our table. It's Christ. What we'll do on this side, just come from the back down this way. If you need to pray, just you can find a place to do that up here if you'd like to, or if you can go back to your seat. Receive communion. We'll also have spot for offering if you want to give. Again, if you're visiting with us, we do not expect you to give. You're our guest today, and we thank you for being here. I believe God brought you here for a reason. But you'll just come down, receive that, and then this side will head back that way. This side will start at the back and make their way down toward the middle here, and this side over here will come down and make their way out that way. So just come to the table of the Lord. And just as you're there, just I know we sometimes we run into people we haven't seen in a while. Just don't focus on each other right now. This is part of a fellowship that we're having with Christ right now. Go ahead and make that your focus with him first and foremost. And then we'll have some time after this to say hey to everybody. And then also at the end of the service to spend time and tell everybody Happy New Year and all that good stuff. All right? So just come. The table of the Lord is open. And just know one thing. He loves you dearly. He loves you dearly so much that he gave his life up for you. All right? So please come to the table of the Lord.
seems to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, trials and temptations. Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden? With a load of care. Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. He'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there.
The first again, the first one.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to care.
What a friend we have in Jesus. Let's pray. Lord God, as we are people who have received your Holy Communion, and Lord, we just pray that we will focus on those things that all our sins and griefs you take upon yourself. And it's a privilege for us to do that. And Lord, many of us may have spent this last year with no peace at all. And we give up that peace just because we worry and we don't carry everything to you. So God, we're going to have trials. We're going to have temptations. We're going to have trouble. But we shouldn't be discouraged because we have you as our friend. God, we're heavy, we're burdened, we're cumbered, we have so much stuff. We have people who we thought that were our friends who have gone to despise us or to backstab us. And God, we don't know what's going on. We just wonder what it is. But guess what? We can take it to you in prayer, and you'll shield us and you'll protect us. So God, as we look forward to what you have for us this day and this year to come, we praise you for the friend that we have in you, the Savior that we have in you. We give you all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. All right, everyone. You were waiting. I know it was hard for you to come up here and take communion without saying hello to somebody. Now's your chance as our kids head to our Haven Kids Ministry.
He said, certainly, but first excuse me for a couple of days, please. I have to make arrangement for my father's funeral. Jesus refused. First things first, your business is life, not death, and life is urgent. Announce God's kingdom. Then another said, I'm ready to follow you, master, but first excuse me while I get things straightened out at home. Jesus said, no procrastination, no backwards look. You can't put God's kingdom off till tomorrow. Seize the day.
Sometimes I just like, I love the Message translation of the scripture. It just is so, like, hits you right in your face, doesn't it? Sometimes. So right now, we're going to go ahead and do our prayer concerns and lift them up during this time, our prayers. There's several different ones that we have here for Dave and Ronnie Smith. Continue prayers for stepsister Becky, has lung cancer, is receiving chemotherapy and radiation. Carolyn Castillo, Debbie has lifted this up, is in Calvert Nursing Home, and fell this morning during x-ray check, and they're doing an x-ray to check her hip, right? Okay, so we want to pray for her, as Carolyn's been through a lot. Joanna Shea, for her daughter to give her peace through a broken relationship. Kristen June, for strength to get through tomorrow and the coming days as they have to put their dog down. And anybody who's been through that knows that is not something that is to be joyed. Again, if you haven't written down your prayer requests, please write them down or also send them online, and Debbie will make sure they get them for the prayer request. I do have this prayer request to lift up. Many of you know Hope Russell and Bob Ward, and also may know Jimmy Russell. Last night, and their nephew, who's been part of our church and was here for a good amount of time. Brandon Beard was killed in a motorcycle accident last night on I-95 in Harford County. And if anybody knew Brandon, he was just a guy who lit up a room with a smile, and just a tragic thing with his sudden passing last night. And pray for the family, as several of them were away out of the country on vacation and will be coming back, several of them today, and making their journey back. So please lift the family of Brandon Beard, his mother Melissa, and his sisters and the entire family in your prayers during this very, very difficult time. We have a couple others that are here as well. For the birth of Seth Richard Moran, it's from Carol Henson, mom is in high risk, so you want to go ahead and lift them up in prayers. And also, looks like Carmelo family, the death of a wife and mother and grandmother, Kathy Carmelo. So we want to go ahead and lift them in prayers too. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, we know that what we sang about, that many people are going through several different struggles, several different things during this time. Some of us are glad that this year is over. Others of us are afraid of what this next year may be. But God, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, and we're going to trust in you. We're going to make a commitment to trust in you through all things. So, Father, we just ask that you be with us. Be with those who've experienced loss, even so immediately right now, the loss of young lives and those that have been struggling with all kinds of things. For those who are actively going through treatments, be with them. And, Lord, whatever it may be, we lift up those prayers to you right now, and we ask for your Holy Spirit to be very active, to bring peace and restoration to our minds and healing to those we lift up. We thank you for the joys that we have of birthdays and anniversaries, and the joy of, even though it doesn't really change stuff, it does in our minds, of a newness of a new year that just kind of helps us kind of kickstart and get things headed in and moving in a right direction that we may have wronged before. And so, God, just thank you for all things, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, a couple things. Just welcome. We are glad that you are here. Cannot believe it is the last Sunday in 2019. I always heard the older you get, the faster it goes. I truly believe it this year. It seems like it should be about September to me, but anyway, we had a great Christmas Eve service and had a lot of fun there. I hope all of you had a very Merry Christmas and all those kind of good things as well. But if you're visiting with us, welcome. We are glad that you are here. Hopefully you received a card. We'd love for you to fill that out. And just thank you for being with us. You can see some of the other announcements that we have. We're going to be, you can look at the Parish Foundation today. Also, answer prayers. A lot of times, we lift up prayers and we don't know where they go, right? Many of us know that and have seen that. So we want to go ahead. And some of those, it's very interesting. Some people submitted a prayer for 14 days of prayer this past summer. I'm going to talk a little bit more of that. We're going to re-kickstart that in a different way in the next few weeks here. We just love to hear about whether God has done anything and answered those prayers in your life. Also, on January 5th, you can see the information about a ministry fair. A lot of times, and what we hear is people want to get involved and they just don't know where to. They don't know what's going on. So we're going to have like a ministry fair on the 5th of January, and it's going to give you an opportunity to go ahead and connect and see some of the things and some of the ministries that are involved around here, and you can maybe see where God might want to plug you in. Another reminder is Right Now Media. This is a gift from us to anyone who is here. You can read the information about that. You get signed up for free. It's got lots of online resources, Bible studies, videos, all kinds of things that are streamed to you for free. It's our gift to you. We've been doing it a couple years. Several people really enjoy it. If you're kind of trying to find something this new year to say, hey, I need some regimen to keep me on guard and keep me going, go ahead. We'd love for you. Again, if you're visiting with us, we just need your email, connect with you, and you can go ahead and connect with Right Now Media, and that's our gift to you. So we'd love to have you go ahead and do that. A few months ago, in the fall, we did a small group series, and in that small group series, we talked about some important things. We talked about four really important things that are all throughout Scripture. And this, you may remember this. You may go, "Oh yeah, I remember that." Remember, we talked about knowing God. Remember that? About knowing God. Like, we mean, I'd say most of our culture knows about God, but really knowing God. And we kind of picked that up again at the beginning of Advent when we started talking about Elf. And remember, I know him and the excitement that is from knowing him. And then when we really know God, we begin to experience freedom. Freedom from things that keep us bound. If we really connect to God, we want to experience some sort of freedom from the stuff that has us in a position. And then when we find that, if you don't remember, the next one is, and I believe this is one of the most important things, to discover your purpose. Nobody is here by accident. Not one person. Maybe that's all you need to hear today. Maybe the person next to you needs to hear, you're not an accident. God wanted you to be here. And so maybe that's what you need to do. There is no accident. And so one of the things that we need to do in life is we need to discover God's purpose for our lives. And then I really believe we will never, ever be happy. You will never be at joy. You'll never be at peace in your life unless you really know why you're here. Sometimes we may have gone through life and tried to find something to do, and we just don't feel like we're in the right place. We feel like we're existing. And then the ultimate thing, which I believe the church is meant to do, is to make a difference in the world. And what we talked about during that time is something that I want to pick up right now and just add a little bit more to it, is that we are all on this journey somewhere. We are all somewhere on the spectrum. Even atheists are on a journey or this continuum to go ahead and either know God, find freedom, discover your purpose, and to make a difference in the world. And so often we know the steps, right? We know these steps. But often we need a kick in the rear end to get going. Anybody? Like, you know, and you have this, you're like, okay, this year I'm going to go ahead and do this. So I'm here to kind of give you a little bit gentle nudge. So a brand new year, brand new decade, we're doing this series called It's Time To. And it's going to be a four-week series on It's Time To. And so tell the person next to you, it's time. Now look at your second choice and tell them, it's really time for you. All right, good. That's what we need. That's what we want. We want to make sure that we go ahead and we recognize that it is time to. And so over the next couple weeks, we're going to talk about what it's time to do. Excuse me. So here we go. It's time. So how many of you have been through this holiday season, been on a busy highway? Anybody? And I'm not just talking about like I-95 interstate. I'm talking about like one like Kirkwood Highway or Route 40 where there's a stop light at every 5 minutes. You know what I mean? 13. Yeah, there you go. 13 is definitely one. And you know, one of the things that's awesome, you're sitting there at a red light and then this comes on. Wait, let me get it. Here we go. There you go. Green light. Have you ever been in a turn lane where somebody's there and they just sit at a green light? Now, I'm a Christian, but I'm a lot less Christian when I'm on the road behind people. You know what I mean? You know, I want to call down all kinds of pain upon people who just sit there. Anybody with me here? Okay? So you have this, and you get so frustrated. So what happens? What you want to do when you see this, okay, somebody's sitting there and they do this, right? How many of you have caught that? That they use that time for that green light to just, red light, they look up a little bit and you're sitting there. Have you ever sat there and they go, oh, and they go through and then you get the red light? Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a bad place in hell for those people, right? But that tends to happen. And so what do you want to do when they do that? You want to go, honk! You want to go, come on! Right? You want to do that? You like, you ever do like the yelling, but you're not yelling? Like you're, right? We do this? Am I the only one? Okay, just checking. Okay, but you kind of do this. And so because, like, if you have that moment where you feel like, oh my gosh, it might be somebody from church, you know? So you just kind of go, beep, beep, right? beep, beep, when you really want to go, honk, 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 move, right? And there we go. And there's that part of all of us that does that. And so what I want to do is we're going to talk about going today. And what I'm going to do, in some ways, what I want to do for the church is go, honk, 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 to get us going. But I'm going to give you a gentle beep, beep. Okay? And I'm going to help you go. Is that okay? Because that's what I got today, and I'm really tired. Okay? So, here we go. We are in this new series. Let's look. The light is green, and that's what we're going to talk about. So, today it is time to go. Let's look at Luke chapter 9, verses 5 and on, 57 through 62, which Ron read for us. It is out of the Message, and the Message is a translation by a man, a pastor named Eugene Peterson. He did go to the Greek, but he paraphrased the Greek in modern language, so it would be something that some people could understand a little bit better. It's not the most scholarly, but sometimes it hits us really, really hard in this area. So let's look at this. And he says, on the road, someone asked if he could go along. And he said, I'll go with you wherever. You see, it's a new year, it's a new decade, he's excited, he's going to put all that stuff behind him, and he says, I'm ready to go, I'm ready to rock, let's go, Jesus, I'm following you. And Jesus was curt. Jesus is like, mm-hmm, are you? You're really ready to go. He goes, let me tell you something, are you ready to rough it? Because we're not staying in the best ends, you know. And the guy said, maybe. I thought we stayed in 4-star. You are the Son of God, right? Don't you deserve, like, the Hotel DuPont? Right? No, not that. So, so Jesus is there. And a lot of times I think a lot of us don't go because we get caught up in that it's going to be hard. This thing's going to be hard if I really follow Jesus. So, yeah, another follower comes up to Jesus, and he says this. Jesus said, follow me. And he says, certainly. But first, excuse me for a couple days that I can make arrangements for my father's funeral. Now, I don't know about you, but I was like, come on, Jesus. Give him a pass here. But you see, what the people are saying is, Jesus is saying, follow me. And he only really said that, only like 13 people, including the Apostle Paul, really had that and received it. And so what Jesus is saying to these other two people, like 15 people, 15, 16 people, if you count this account of Jesus saying, follow me. They had an opportunity. He says, first let me go back. And Jesus refused. Jesus said, first things first. Your business is life, not death. And life is urgent. So announce God's kingdom. See, there was an urgency that was there in him. Then another said this. I'm ready to follow you, Master. But first, excuse me while I get things straightened out at home. How many of you, if you waited to follow anybody till you got stuff straightened out at home, you would never follow anybody? You would have bills that come in. You would have relationships that need to be taken care of. There's some people can't even go on vacation without taking care of a dog, right? It's a big problem. Or animals. So you have to do a lot of different things. Let me get stuff straightened up at home. And Jesus says, no. No procrastination. No backward looks. You can't put God's kingdom off until tomorrow. In other words, what he's saying is this. Honk! Jesus ain't going, beep, beep. He's saying, honk! Hey, follow me. Wait, let me go home to my funeral. Honk! No. Wait, let me get stuff at home. Honk, honk! No! Let's go. Seize the day. Carpe diem. Seize the day. So here we are at a brand new day, a brand new year. And this, in our mind, it gives us this time of a fresh start. That song, Auld Lang Syne, we're going to hear it a lot here pretty soon. Often we think about it as one of the dumbest songs ever when you listen to the words, right? But it really makes sense. It was written by Robert Burns in 1788. And it really means something different. It means days gone by. And it's really a self-reflecting kind of song. Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Now, when you think about that, it's like, should I forget everybody I met? No, that's not what it's saying. It's just saying, let me look at everything in my life. Let me look at everything. Is it right? Is it in conformity? Is it in peace? Is it in a good place in life?
And what have I messed up back here that I need to get right up here? And so this song, in days gone by, we're asking ourselves here today, what should stay in 2019? What are those things that we just need to forget about? And what are those things that we should carry on with us and build upon and make stronger? And what should stay in this? So there's three things that I want to share with you to start off today that we need to move on from. Okay, does it sound good? Here we go. So a couple things that we need to move on. First thing is, we need to move on from old history. We need to move on from old history. We need to go ahead. There's some things in our lives. We need to take the mouse of our life and go over and go click, right click, delete, empty the recycling bin or trash can, depending on what computer you're using. That's what we need to do. We need to just get it out of our lives. Just remove it. Get away from it. Okay? We need to get it off our hard drives once and forever. This could be our divorce or our certain relationships. It could be health issues. It could be financial woes. It could be that event or that moment that you have let define you this whole year. It may have been something that you've been carrying with you since the last decade. Throughout this whole entire decade, you need to come to a point, go down and say, boom, I'm going to delete it and get rid of it. The scripture says, forget the former things. Okay? Forget the former things. Look at this verse here from Isaiah. Forget. How many of you are good at forgetting? Some of you, somebody's nudging you already. Say, yeah. How many of you are good at forgetting the things that people ask you to do? There you go. Don't forget this. Forget the stuff that has you bound and has you in a position. Look what it says. Forget the former things. Do not, everybody with me? Dwell on the past. We spend so much time looking in the rearview mirror that we can't ever see what's in front of us. Time in and time out. And what does God say here? See, I am doing a new thing. Often you can't see something new when you're looking in the back. It's like somebody who still has one of those telephones where you got to hold the one part up to your ear and hold the other one. You know what I'm talking about. If you do, and you still have it, leave it this year, okay? There's a cool thing called a cell phone. It's okay, all right? But some of us do that. How many remember when you wanted to walk in the room, you needed that 20-foot cord on the receiver? How many have no clue what I'm talking about? There you go. All right, so, and you had to unwind it because you would stretch it to that whole area. Yes, that's where we are. We need to forget those things of our past and move on because he's doing a new thing. There's stuff that we've been carrying around for years and years and years. It's like when you move someplace and you carry box to box to box that's full of nothing but junk that you're never going to use, you're never going to look at, you're never going to have, but you move it with you everywhere you go. And you know who's going to look at it? People after you've died. And you know what they're going to do with it? Put it out and put free on it after the yard sale. Am I right? And a lot of stuff that we have, we just need to put out on the curb and say, take it, Lord. Just take it and get it out of our lives. Move it out of here. So we need to delete some of that old history in our lives. Forget the former things and allow Christ to do a new thing. It then says this, now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? In other words, hey, don't you see it? Often we can't see it because we're going like this. I remember my driver's ed teacher in high school. And the driver's ed teacher, I remember, he would tell us that what we focus our eyes in on is where we drive. And I remember him talking about taking somebody out for a driving lesson. And as he was riding down the road, he said he was watching and he saw a parked car over here and he saw the car going right toward that car. And he slammed on the brakes the last second. You know how they had that brake in there, which like messed you up and they'd hit it and you'd be like, you know, like this. But he said he slammed on the brakes the last second and he found out he was looking at that and his hands went that way. So many times we are looking at something else that we end up off-road, we end up in a wreck and we wonder, why in the world are we here? And so we can't see the new thing that God is doing because we're looking elsewhere. He said, am I making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland? So let's go. Let's go and head forward. Next thing we need to move on from is old habits. Old habits. What's the old statement? Old habits? Die hard, all right? So here we go. We need some things to just stay in 2019. We may have some addictions. And when we talk about addictions, many of us get to the point of drugs and alcohol and those big things. But some of us have an addiction to our phones. Some of us have an addiction to our computers. Some of us have an addiction to our extracurricular activities. Some of us have an addiction to our jobs. Some of us have an addiction to food. Some of us have an addiction to a new speech, a new language, a new kind of way that we talk or we react to people. And we've picked it up. And so I don't know what your bad habit is, but guess what? You all got them. I got them. If you looked at the person, take your second choice this time and go ahead and say, hey, I know you got a bad habit. And then look back at him again and say, so do I. Shh, don't tell anybody. We all have these bad habits where they are. You know, like Christmas, I tell you, I ate some of the most amazing stuff that made me feel like you should fly me over a football game and put Goodyear on the side of me. You know what I mean? It's just, I felt like, you know, here I am, you know. It was so good, and I just wanted to pick and eat. Anybody else eat anything that was amazingly good, but now you're like, you're afraid to get anywhere near a scale. And you see, I love food. Food is awesome. It is fantastic. It is fantastic. But where I get into problems, and there's nothing wrong with food, but there is when I let food master me. I mean, there are things in our lives that we allow for us to master us in life, that they begin to take over. And so in a couple weeks, as we mentioned, we did this a couple years ago, and we're going to do this every year now, is this summer we went ahead and had 14 days of prayer. So in a couple weeks, in the middle of the series, we're going to launch 14 days of prayer and fasting. And because, and I think fasting is an important part of that, of hearing God. I think it's probably mixed up and not done well in the church. But it's just one of those things to allow things not to master me. So for instance, in fasting, we just need to step away from it. I know in years ago that some people got completely off social media for 14 days. And they were like, oh my gosh. Some people just got completely off of television. Or some people, this ain't hard for you. You just turned off the news. You were like, hallelujah, my life is better when you went through that. But basically what fasting is to separate ourselves from this stuff out here for a time in order to focus on God. To lay aside that stuff that seems to take over, that seems to in many ways master us. And in order to just focus on what God wants us to do, and we're going to combine that with prayer. We're going to do a couple of our prayer services on Saturday morning and also on Wednesday morning. We're going to add some of those in again just to go ahead and connect to that. And those of you who are part of that, it was an awesome time to get us ready for the fall this year and just to take time and do some of that. In Isaiah 58, it says this, "Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen?" And here's what fasting does, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke and to set the oppressed free and to break every yoke. And so in those 14 days, my prayer is that some people can go ahead and not just forget old history, but just those old habits will just fall down and won't mean anything to them at all. And our third thing is this, to move on, we need to move on from old hurts, to old hurts, the wounds and the hurts. And you say, and I know many of you are like, I have been so hurt this year in 2019. Some people say, my gosh, Jack, you don't know. Or you may say, Jack, you do know the hurts I've had and the pains I've had and the things that I've dealt with. And you say, what am I supposed to do about it? And I've got the answer for you. Everybody ready? Nothing. You can do nothing about it. Somebody hurt you, and you can do absolutely nothing about it. But you can do one thing. Move on. Okay. I found in my life, the people that have hurt me the most, they've already moved on after they hurt me. And the one who's stuck is me. And I've given them more power over my life by the way I was hurt than anything ever before. Is that anybody else's experience? I find that time and time and time again. And so we get a do-over at this time of year. We get to make a clean slate. And so what is it time for? It is time to bring about a change in our lives. And that's why we see in 2 Corinthians, it says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. And all this is from God who, look at this word, reconciles us, makes it right to himself through Jesus Christ, to bring balance, to bring our account to zero, to even it out, to bring a balance. And if we need a balance, that means there was something outstanding. And Jesus wants to just bring that to even. So what you need to do is just to make yourself a nonprofit organization this year and zero your balance sheet out, right? To make it balance out in your life. And so if you are a Christian, this is the promise. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. So what I want to say is simply this before we move on today is I can't start the next chapter if I keep rereading the last one. How many of you are one of those people who when you read, your mind wanders? Anybody like that? I've been before where I've read a whole chapter and I'm like, what was that about? And I have to start over and read it again. And I read it again. And guess what? I could never get to the next chapter if I'm still reading that section there. And that's the same thing with our lives. We need to get over our old history, our old habits, and our old hurts, those things that define us. And we need to have power from Christ that's available to change our lives. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, it says this. From that time on, Jesus began, this is after he connected with John the Baptist. He began to preach. And I want to show you three things from this verse here. He said a couple things. He said, number one, repent. Everybody say repent. Amen. Say it like you're a southern preacher. Ready? Amen. There you go. You guys heard it already, right? Repent. And that word repent has wrongly had a bad term for us many times. Because we all heard these people, repent, turn or burn. Turn or burn, repent. Repent now, I'm dangling over the fires of hell. Repent, sinner friend, right? Anybody heard these things? And you're like, I better repent, whatever that means, because I don't want to burn. And we've heard that before. But basically what repent means, it means metanoia. Metanoia, and it's in Greek. And what it just means is to have a change of mind. Those of you who's been in the military, it means about face, to turn and go the other direction, to repent. Repent. It is a positive thing that you can change your mind. How many of you would love to go ahead and change the way you think about things? Like how many of you worry too much about stuff? How many would just like to enter 2020 and say, I'm not going to worry about that. I'm going to trust in God. How many of you that are a hypochondriac, that if you see something on the news, like when they had swine flu the other year, you're like, you get the sniffles, you're like, I got swine flu. Right? You know? How many of you have ever done that before in your life? That you just think that time and time again. You take out the medical book or you go on WebMD and you're like, I'm dying. You're like, no, you have a hangnail. Okay, you know? How many of you would just love to just chill out in life and just be like, it's cool. God's got this, regardless of the circumstances. And so how many of you just have, there's something in your wiring that you just look at people and you look for the most negative thing about them that you possibly can. And you just want to change that. How many of you have that way that you just open mouth and insert foot and you say some of the most hurtful things? And you're like, I hate that about myself. I got to stop that. Some of you may be so miserable in your own lives that you're just hurting everybody around you. And you just got to change that all together. And so what it says is to have that change of mind. Look at what it says here. So we have repent. But look what it says. From that time, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. And the reason why some of us don't go is because we have the wrong kingdom. Some of us have the wrong king. Some of us set ourselves up as king, that we rule our lives, and the way we rule our lives is the way that's going to be. And when we wonder why it's a mess, because guess what? You and I are messes. And so we need a new king in there. We need to get that new king so we have the new kingdom, and the kingdom of God is what we need. And then the next thing he says, repent for the kingdom of heaven is what? Come near to us. I think church has wrongly told us that here we are here and God is so far removed from us when he's not. We just sang about O come Emmanuel, which means God with us. It means he came to be next to us, to be with us, to suffer. And he said before he left and ascended into heaven, I will not leave you orphan, but I will send another counselor who is the Holy Spirit. So you are not alone. God is near. God is so near. But sometimes we just need to go and go a little bit more in our lives. God is a lot closer than you may think. And so it's time to make a change in four different areas that we want to look at. And the first one is where we just picked off from, is it's time to get closer to God. You may say, well, Jack, I love Jesus. Good, get closer. Well, Jack, I was saved in such and so church, and I've taken this Bible study, and I have all my Sunday school pins from years ago, and I can sing, I'm in the Lord's army, yes, sir. But get closer. Get closer. Get closer. You see, I need to get closer to God. I can sit here and go through all kinds of things. I can tell you how long I've been a pastor. Tell you even my whole life I've been a preacher's kid. Okay? I can tell you that I was part of youth groups. I can tell you that I went to seminary and have a master's in divinity. I can tell you all that kind of stuff. But guess what? Jack in 2020 needs to get closer to Jesus. Needs to get closer. And guess what? I need to lean into him. I need to go harder after Jesus than ever before. And my prayer is that in the 14 days of prayer and fasting, that through whatever God calls, whatever God's working on me to do, that it's going to cause me to lean in closer to him and get closer to him and to remain closer to him through this year. Because I know, as we sang, that troubles and tribulations and all kinds of things and relationships are going to cause that closeness to God to break off a little bit. It's going to cause me to question where God has me in life. It's going to cause me to question, where are you, God? It's going to cause me to question the church and if the church and church people really do love God. And if they do, why aren't they displaying it more? It's going to cause all that. I know that's what's going to happen in 2020. So I need to lean into God a lot more. I know that as our world and as our country gets closer to all kinds of things, that it's going to get uglier and it's going to get nastier, and I'm going to get this cynical attitude about everybody around me, and it's going to cause me not to see the love of Christ in my brother and sister. It's going to cause me to be like, this world's going to hell in a handbasket. Let it go. But when I grow closer to Jesus, then I begin to have a love that's greater for others. See what I mean? We need to get closer. James, the brother of Jesus, said this, come close to God. And what will God do? Come close to you. You ever tried to hug somebody and they go? Or you go up to hug somebody and they're like, nope. How's that make you feel? That's not what God does. God's not going to stiff arm you. He says, get closer to him, and he leans into you all the more. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts. For your loyalty is divided between God and the world. And man, when I read that verse, I was like, oh my gosh. That's a lot of what's conflicting in my life. You see, the interesting thing is come close to God. It's our first step to do that. It's not his. You see, I think a lot of times we think that Christianity should be easy, that my life should be easy. But the story of God is that he wants me to do something and he wants me to grow closer, and something that is hard is rewarding. And so here's what we see. If you want something you've never had, you have to do something you've never done before. I'm not sure what that means for you, but you may have said, I hear this stuff about small groups. I hear people saying that, and I see those people connected. Man, I'd really like to know more people there. Well, then get involved in a small group. You will get to know people. They will journey with you in life. They will help you through the ups and downs of life. I have seen over the last several years, I mean, in the lives of this church, I can go through the last decade of the church that I've seen people in groups together where people have died, where they've moved, where there's been divorces, and I've seen that group come together as family to help each other through some of the most struggles and trials that I've ever seen in life. And they help each other time and time again. I've also seen where relationships have been broken in those things, but then I've also seen healing begin to occur as well in those things, because none of us are perfect. And that's why he says, wash and purify yourself, because he knows that we're all a mess. But it may be that you may have never attended church before, or you may have attended church once or twice. Maybe you say, guess what? This year I'm going to make a commitment to make church a regular thing. And I guarantee you, it will get better. Life will get more in focus for you, and you'll see the kingdom of God. You may have said, my gosh, I have never used my talents. I love to play. I love to sing, and I have this talent for it. People have told me. I love to go ahead and do media. I love to go ahead and do sound. I've been gifted for that stuff. I love to teach kids in Sunday school. And then you said for years, nope, not here. And maybe just that's a calling on God's life. And he's saying, go ahead and embrace that call on your life. Because if you want something you've never had, then you got to do something you've never done before in your life. And I guarantee you, your life will be better and more fulfilled. Number two, it's time to get honest with a friend. And this goes back to the small group atmosphere. Everybody here needs to share secrets with at least one person in your life. Because you can't get to be where you need to be with just yourself and just with Jesus. You can't. And you say, well, wait a second, Jack, how can you say that? Because God did not intend for us that way. When you see, Jesus never sent anybody out alone. He always sent them with family. He sent them with relatives. Even Abraham, who he sent, go do this journey, he sent Lot with him. I don't know if that's a good choice or not, but he sent him with him. He sent all his disciples out together. It was a pattern because they knew that there's strength in numbers that exists there the whole time. That there's... We're always in danger where we're the only person that knows what's going on in our minds and our lives. We need accountability. Several years ago, I decided to hire a trainer. He was Mr. Delaware, and great guy, knew what he's talking about. I've had people say, weren't you scared? And I'm like, yeah, but he knows how to train his body so he can do something with this mess. All right? So I had tried by myself for years. And it didn't work. But then I went ahead and I paid him a lot of money. You know what I mean? And Jack doesn't like to just give money away. Okay? But I paid him money. And when I paid him money, I thought, okay, I'm going to do this because he's got my money. Okay? And when he had my money, I remember I followed his plan. And you know what? It worked. Now, I've gotten off now because remember the Christmas food stuff? Right, okay. But I lost weight. I got in shape. I did all these kind of things. I felt the best I ever had in my whole entire life. And when I was looking back, what was the biggest difference in that? And I'm going to tell you, it was the day Friday. It was the day Friday because I had 4 days that I had to do this workout, had to do elliptical for 45 minutes, had to go ahead and lift some weights. I had to eat clean all week, and I had that one cheat meal where I ate like a pig. It was the most amazing thing ever. I ate everything. It is a sight to see. I ate pizza. I ate cheesesteaks. I ate ice cream. I ate french fries, all of it. I was miserable, and it was awesome. But on Fridays, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I had to go to him and weigh in. And he would put that little fat thing on me. He'd go, oh, good. Oh, good. And then he'd get down here and go, uh-oh. And I'm like, yeah, I know. Genetics. All right. But guess what? He has nothing to do with my life except for I paid him. But it was the accountability I had with him that caused me to want to do better. Because when I don't have accountability, I'm like, okay. You know what I'm saying here? When you have somebody in your life that holds you accountable, you do better. And that's no different in the Christian walk. So what small groups and stuff is about, it's just doing life together, holding each other accountable, building each other up. And I'm thankful that I have people in my life that hold me accountable. I'm thankful that several years ago, I went ahead and hired a counselor just because of struggles in my life. And I remember one of the first things she said to me was, my gosh, you're really honest. And I looked at her and said, I ain't paying you not to be. I got plenty of people in my life I can schmooze, that I can put on the game face. I got to have somebody in my life that I dump my life on. And you need that too. Stop trying to do it all yourself. You need people in your life that are there for you, that can get you through this. Look at what it says here in the scripture. It says, confess your sins to each other. Wait a second. I thought we were supposed to confess to God. Yes, but also to each other. So that you can do what for each other? pray for each other, and then you will be healed. There's something about sharing with each other and a freedom that you have. Confess, prayer, and healing. And so here's what I want to say. If you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go further, go with others. Right? You can go fast in a rowboat, but if you have others in there, you're going to go further in the long run. Number three, it's time to get in tune with my purpose and my passions. You may have tried a lot and not really feeling it. You know why? It's not your passion. In Galatians chapter 6, it says this, anyone thinks they are something when they are not. They deceive themselves, and each one should test their own actions. In other words, take a deep look inside your life and see who God made you to be and discover who you really are. And then you can take pride in yourselves alone without comparing yourself to someone else. Comparison is always a horrible thing. Always a horrible thing. What am I saying? And this one is simply this. Don't go through life. Grow through life. Don't just go through it. Grow through it. And number four, here we come as our last one. And I know our worship team's going to make their journey back up here. For this last time in 2019, it's time to get doing something greater than myself. Wouldn't it be great to look back into 2020, this time next year, and say, wow. Wow. I didn't think I was capable of doing that. I didn't know that I could do that. I'm often amazed by, I was going back through some, every year I put together a preaching calendar of the series and the scriptures and the themes that I do. And often when I get to this time of year, I go, oh, here we go again. Time to make the donuts, right? And I look at that calendar. But I was looking back through some of the messages over the year. And the one I got to was recently. It was our generosity series. And I started thinking about those clips that we had and just about the generous hearts of the individuals and how those individuals just changed lives just by being in the zone, by being where they needed to be, by doing something greater than themselves. And it didn't take, you know, tons of stuff. It just took, in many cases, somebody just doing something a little bit and changing people's lives forever. You know, like I said, we could all tie in, and I joke about being a church with 2020 vision and all that kind of stuff. And I know a lot of people are going to get married 10-10, 2020, and all that kind of good stuff. But what I really believe, and for several years I've kind of come up with a word that I believe God wants for our church. And there's been several different ones, joy, and there's been love, and there's been something. But God just gave me a word in the midst of thinking about this last year and thinking about where we're headed forward. And that word is simply this, impact. Impact. Because impact comes when our purpose and our passion collide and come together. That we have impact in lives when we really have a heart behind a purpose. When we really have a passion to do things. And we've seen so many awesome things in that this last year. But I really believe, and I've always embraced that verse, eye has not seen and ear has not heard what the Father has prepared for those who love Him. I think that's a great verse for all of us to have this year. For some of you this year, you are, hallelujah, 2019, put it to bed, I'm done with it. And that's okay. But don't stay there. Get rid of some of that stuff. Get rid of a lot of that stuff that kept you there and move on. Because here's what the scripture says here in Ephesians. God creates each of us by Christ Jesus to join Him in the work. You notice, some of you may have been off work for a while for the holidays. How many of you are going back to work and going, yes, I get to go back to work. It's so awesome. I can't wait. Some of you are like, I got to get back to work. They're driving me nuts, right? You may be that way. But work is sometimes difficult. But it's rewarding, too, when you have that passion in it as well. And so what I want to say to you today is we want to join with Christ in His work because it's a good work. And He's gotten us ready to do work we had better be doing. So in other words, He's saying, hey, honk, 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 let's go. Let's go. Let's get moving. Because ultimately when we look at this, if I dedicate my life to something greater than myself, God will fill my life with passion and adventure. Some of the greatest experience I've had in my life have been because God's opened doors that I never thought would ever happen. And so many of us, as I was winding this down, said it's easy to say, but so many of us are so caught up in our history and our habits and our hurts. And we're stuck at a place in gazing in the rearview mirror. That we're just looking about behind us and what could have been and the mistakes that we made and the tragedies that we've had and we're stuck just looking in the background. And yet the light's green. The light's green. And Jesus is just like, come on. Come on. Get moving. Jesus hanging out the window. Yay! Go! Beep! I know that you lost that person you love. But guess what? Those who believe in me should never die. I know that you've had sicknesses, but guess what? Upon my stripes, you're healed. You see, I know you've had financial problems, but guess what? I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. Just follow my plan for financial peace, and guess what? You're going to have it. You see, whatever answer, whatever has us looking in the rearview mirror, you know, we may say, my gosh, we have that child that is just the prodigal son, and he says, yeah, I know about it, but I'm waiting. I'm waiting, and so are you, just with your arms open. Honk, just get going. You notice what I think is awesome about the prodigal son? When his son turned to come home at a lesser level, the father met him before he got home, wrapped his arms around him, hugged him, loved him, put a robe on him, and called him his son. For some of you, you may have been existing in a prodigal experience where you've just been going and you're lost. And Jesus says, come home. Go. Come on. Go. It's funny that man said, I will go back to my father. That's what 2020 is about. That's what this new decade can be about. And you know what? The world's going to do what it may do, but if the church is doing what it do, it does, it changes the world around us. And so my prayer is that it's time to get going. And you'll be the first people that go and honk gently, beep, beep, to help some others along the way. So the next 4 weeks, 3 weeks, that's what we're going to do. We're going to honk the horn a little bit. Let's stand and let's worship the Lord one more time here together in 2019.
So I love this song. It's just like a proclamation that we just say together is, Lord, I need you, you know, and I don't like these songs that we sing. It's like empty prayers, and it's not. This isn't a Hallmark card, you know. We need to like proclaim these words, you know, and just wrap this up today, you know. And I love the song more because you know what? It's really about the community of Christ and our hearts together. And I love when we all sing it together, just our voices lifted high. Let the Spirit move with us. Let's just start this song a little bit different this morning. Let's just sing this chorus together as one body, one voice. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour, Lord.
song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, I need you. You're my one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, I need you.
Just keep that attitude of worship and prayer going today. Sing the chorus one more time.
Lord, I need you. Hear my prayer, Lord. Be out, I need you. My one.
This year is, as you see on the front, 366 days, which means it's a leap year, 8,784 hours, 527,040 minutes, 3,622,400 seconds. What are you going to do with that time? All blank slate, right? We can start again. Next week, what we're going to do, it's time to choose joy. We're going to talk about having a joyful and joy-filled year this year. Have a great time. I do want to say, I think I saw Debbie. Debbie is a great-grandmother, right, Debbie? Ooh. Debbie, I think I saw her back there. Debbie Ewing, so she had that. And Bobby, I know, has another grandchild, right? Mom's doing well. Baby's doing well. So we're excited about those things. But everybody, have a great new year, and we'll see you all in 2020.